Hi, I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are
East-West
Audio Body Shop. Well, one of our missions here at EWABS is to give you guys the edge in getting competitive out in the voiceover market. And to that end, we're bringing in somebody who's a real expert at helping you out. She's a voice casting director and a great coach, Mary Lynn Wissner, will be right here on EWABS.
Wow, that's overdue. Really glad we're going to have her. I'm going to have the highlights from the NAMM show. Yes, it's a music show, but there's a ton of great gadgets and equipment there for the studio. Microphones, preamps, all that. So I'll have the best stuff I found and a little highlight reel for you guys to watch.
Can't wait to see that. Want to go to all these shows. Plus, we'll answer your questions. And where do they send their questions to?
Well, they can send them in the ewabshop at gmail.com.
That's East West Audio Body Shop, Monday night, 9 o'clock in the East.
And 6 o'clock out here in the West.
And we'll see all of you in the chat room, and we'll see you there.
He is the home voiceover studio engineer to the stars in Los Angeles, California. A Virginia Tech grad whose knowledge of the latest recording gear is second to none. He's a voice actor and the home studio master, hailing from Buffalo, New York. His home studio skills and knowledge of voiceover recording is unmatched. When Dan and George talk shop, people listen. And the talk continues tonight. Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop.
This is Jack DeGolia from Henderson, Nevada. Episode 175 of East West Audio Body Shop is brought to you by Edge Studio, providers of voiceover education, production, and technology. Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials, products hand-picked for voice actors. VoiceZam, a totally unreal demo player for voiceover professionals. The Home Studio Master, get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. And VoiceOver Extra, your one-stop resource for voiceover success.
And now live from his high-tech facility in Santa Monica and his penthouse studio in Buffalo, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Good evening. I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East-West Audio Body Shop. There is no O in Leonard.
He was doing it like the Hal Leonard, the music publisher.
Maybe that's what it
Leonard.
Is. Leonard. Like Leonard that was, Bernstein.
That was one of our viewers and fans, Bill Russell. And if, by the way, if you get tired of hearing Bill Russell in the opening credits, you too can you be too. Part of our opening credits. Just send in your version of the read, time it so it fits the graphics, and we'll use it.
Yeah. And because we want, hey, this is about voiceover. We want to see what you guys can do. You've got to learn how to do all this syncing stuff and learning, you know, what it takes to do it. Because it's great practice in doing promo and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a great show for you tonight. And I know some of you are like hooked to your screens because you're not going anywhere else. You're just sitting in there, you know, in Boston and in New York and in Connecticut and downstate along the Hudson and in New Jersey. And you're not going anywhere.
No.
You're watching EWABS for the next hour and a half. And we have a great show for you tonight because we've got Mary Lynn Wissner is going to be with us. She is a real expert at voice casting and coaching. And we're going to talk all about the casting process. We've talked about it before with some other people, but I really like her take on it. So, make sure you're here for that. She'll be with us somewhere around the bottom of the hour.
There are a few guests who are less, or I can say there are very few guests who are more valuable to a voice actor than casting.
Mary Lynn.
And Mary Lynn is top of the heap, so I'm really glad to have her.
Right. And she's going to be so happy when we get her on, too, after we just totally played her up like that. No, she's really great. Great gal. We've got some video from NAMM.
Yeah.
Which ought to be interesting. So we'll see all the new electronic goodies that are out there. But right now, we must proceed to our...
Time now to take a look at the news. EWABS News.
All righty, in the news tonight. All right. Well, we're starting off the news tonight with an interview. Somebody else, we have another guest who's going to tell us about something really big going on in Atlanta. So let's welcome from VoiceOver City, Gerald Griffith.
Hey, guys.
You're on. Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop once again. Nice to see you again.
Well, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be on with you. And it's been much too long since I've had the opportunity to join you.
Well, you're back. Well, you've got a big thing coming up in March. Tell us all about it. VoiceOver Atlanta 2015.
Yes. It's almost unbelievable that we're going into the third year of the conference. And as the executive producer for it, I feel very privileged to have a chance to put together the program and certainly to have a great team this year. People like Denise Chamberlain and Martha Kahn are actually helping me a lot this time around, as well as Ron Ministry. And so I couldn't do it without them. That's for sure. The conference has definitely taken on a life of its own. And even to date, as we continue to get more registrations in, we have people coming in from 8 different countries. And I think by the end of the week, that'll be over 10 different countries. And so far, about 25 plus states around the country will be represented at VO Atlanta 2015.
And what do you got coming this year?
What was that?
What do you have coming this year?
Oh, wow. Well, you know, we've got Chuck and Stacy. They're going to kick everything off with a live edition of VO Buzz. So that's going to certainly be a huge thing. We've got a keynote from Andrea Romano, who rarely even goes to these type of conferences. So we're happy to have her. And returning from the first time around in 2013, we have none other than Mr. Pat Fraley, who's a part of a great team that's actually up for an Oscar in one of the movies. So that's exciting. But we also have people like, oh, yeah. Yeah, he is. And so he's on a roll. And hey, if you got it, you got it. Run with it, you know. But a couple of things we're introducing. We're having a Spanish day this year, and that's headed up by Simone out of Florida.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have that coming up, and we're really excited about that. And we also have a youth day again. So if people have kids from 7 to 16, we'll have a full day of activities for them. And Elaine Clark and Sunday Muse will be heading that up. And one of the special things we have going on is also we're going to have James Arnold Taylor out doing his Talking to Myself presentation. And that's going to be on Saturday night. So we're really looking forward to that.
But is that his one-man show? Oh, man, that thing, I've seen it. It is really impressive. And take it from somebody who runs his own show live and does all what I do. His show takes it to a whole nother notch, and he's doing it all by himself. It is really impressive.
Yeah, so we're excited to have him. And one of the special things for me, I mean, my kids will actually, because of scheduling, they'll actually be a part of the youth day this time around. And so what I've arranged is for all of the kids who are participating in the youth day, I'm going to put them up on the front row so that they can be up close and personal and really get a chance to see what he does and enjoy the program. And so I'm really excited about having a chance to do that. But some of the other people we have coming, I'm J. Michael Collin. We'll be talking about pay to play. We've got Ann Ganguza, of course. Most of you know her. She'll be talking about social media. Jody Gottlieb, promos. We've got Johnny Heller. He's done over 500 audiobooks and is an audiobook winner and well-known in that circle. He'll be talking about audiobooks. We've got Abby Holmes out of Melbourne, Australia. Wow. She'll be coming and joining us. I've already mentioned Ron Minitry and Sunday Muse. Everett Oliver, who's out your side, he works with us, Stacy, a lot over there at one of the local talent agencies. He's a booth director, so he'll be bringing some skills and auditioning for animation type techniques. We've got 7-time Oscar announcer Randy Thomas coming back to join us and sharing some more of her experience with promo work. Doug Turkel. We'll be talking about branding.
All sorts of things, but
yeah, he'll get me later on it. Denise Woods, which a lot of people may not know that well, but Denise Woods is really big. She actually does a lot of voice and dialect coaching with a lot of A-list talent out of Hollywood. And so We're really excited about that because that's a big area where people, particularly in the South, sometimes they want to get rid of their country sound or maybe a particular accent that they have that they want to work on. And she'll be taking them through some particular techniques on how to do that.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, sure he does. We all understand
that. Uncle Roy out of Jersey,
will
be joining us, and as well as Cliff Zellman. Cliff's going to be going through a lot, talking about a lot of his automotive work. So we have that and a few other people coming out, a couple other people that are still in the pipe, you know, to come and be announced. But we're really excited about the lineup. George, you're going to be there.
I will be there. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It's a really well-run conference and a lot of really good vibes. It's a good vibe in place.
Yeah, okay. Well, if people want to learn more about it, they can go to voatlanta.me, which is .me, and there's a full lineup of what the schedule looks like, the presenters, what they'll be teaching and talking about, and things like that. So I'd invite them to take a look at it, check it out, and come on out and join us. And the topic this year is engage. So all of the presenters know that everything they do is about engaging the people that attend, and it's not just a quick interaction, but throughout the entire weekend from Thursday all the way through Sunday.
Outstanding. Well, Gerald, we're glad you started this, and it continues to prosper and grow every year and becoming a real part of the voiceover community map. And we thank you for being on the show, and we'll be talking about it over the next couple of months. So if you didn't catch this, then how are you hearing me say this? But we'll be talking about it, and what's the web address?
You're so existential,
man. I try to be. What's the web address again?
The web address is voatlanta.me, so voatlanta.me, because it's all about you.
Outstanding. All right. Thanks for being with us, Jared. We'll be talking to you again.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right.
Yeah, man.
All right. And we have one other news story. George?
Yes, well, this one's not quite as interesting, but it's the ongoing talk about ISDN and IP. And this time it's a newsletter from Dave Immer, who runs Digiphone. It's one of the longest running companies that's just been all about helping people with ISDN. And he's a great guy. He does work for me. He wrote a little blog. I'll read it down real quick. The ISDN directory can help a producer or traveling VO artist find an ISDN studio out of town. But nowadays, all talent really needs is a mic, access to fast internet connection, and the use of an IP codec software app or hardware device. Of course, if the target studio is not compatible or the connection is not reliable, a bridge is required. The ubiquity of broadband internet and the new generation of IP codecs has reset the playing field. While IP codecs have come into their own and work well, mostly, good old ISDN is still a requirement of many studios and talent, unfortunately. But we see standard ISDN BRI, also known as basic rate interface, lines start to disappear due to communications infrastructure and new developments that exclude copper wire, like Fios, by the way. Verizon Fios is one of those areas. If you're on Fios, good luck getting ISDN. Communications infrastructures and new developments that exclude copper wire, as well as decommissioning of existing copper.
Yanking the wires out.
Yeah, they say that that happens. I don't believe it all that. We're going to waste money removing infrastructure. Yeah, not happening.
They need the copper.
Not to mention the excessive rates some major telcos are charging these days. Technically, ISDN BRI service can be delivered over fiber, but it's not cost-effective, and some telcos are trying to make their BRI product go away for a variety of reasons, among which are BRI training, maintenance, programming, money losers, and they're a pain in the neck, according to the company. So the pressure on ISDN is ubiquity of broadband internet. It's certainly getting more ubiquitous. Disappearing copper, rising rates, and telcos are eliminating the BRI product. So it's getting harder and harder to get BRI. But ISDN PRI, which is another system that's still in existence, the primary rate interface, is a different story. Delivery is available over fiber, and it transfers much of the programming and maintenance tasks to the end user through the use of a network appliance. Some studios and talent will be able to justify the cost of PRI if it means retaining and acquiring clients. But PRI is not a practical solution for many single-user home studios, as the basic cost for it, get this, is $600 to $900 a month plus $4,000 in hardware. So, you know, these technologies are still hanging on. There are ways to get ISDN where it's not available otherwise at an extreme cost. And even major networks are starting to realize that it's just not cost effective to use anymore. So CBS this year is making the transition. Most of their clients have gone, or talent, have shifted to using IP. Or their producers, I should say, are using IP, like Source Connect mainly. So it is starting. The tree, the ISDN tree is starting to fall very, 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 very slowly.
Pull on those, just pull on one cable and it'll pull all the other ones out.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's the way that that's probably going to work.
It's going to take a while, but.
Yes.
Dan, alrighty. What's that over your shoulder? Because your camera moved and now I see a shovel there.
Yes, well, I see a broom behind your shoulder there too as well. Well, as you noticed, our friends Pablo and Al last week were showing us that, you know, it works really well in, you know, to have all these implements behind you for acoustical baffling. So right. we decided to move to this. So I'm using something that I think will be appropriate later, and it also works for proper acoustical adjustment as well. So. In case any of you were wondering. Well, that's going to do it for...
And that's a look at the E-Wabs News.
All righty. Well, we've got a lot more coming up on the show tonight. We got Marilyn Wisner will be joining us in just a little bit. We're going to be looking at some NAM stuff, but we're going to talk about something first that rhymes with NAM, and that's Voice Zam.
Oh, very well done, my friend.
Why, thank you. Thank you very much. All righty. Well, one of the things that we want to talk about with VoiceZam tonight, because all of you should have it. If you've got a website, and if you don't have a website, what are you doing in this business? You've got to have your demos on there if you're doing voiceover. And VoiceZam is one of those things that is, it's a great way to present all of your demos individually, in order. It gives someone looking at your website and your demos a way to very quickly go through it and find the stuff that they want to find. Mm-hmm. But it's also, and this is something nobody else has. And this is something that's really, really important for when you have a voiceover site that nobody's thought about before. Some people have it, some people don't. VideoZam. It's a great way to present videos in your VoiceZam player. I'm using it on mine. You can use it to present all of your YouTube and Vimeo videos. And you can have both video clips and audio reads in the same demo. Now, how cool is that? Why don't you throw up our friend Steve Tardio's VoiceZam thing here, George?
Got it. It is on screen now.
All right. So you can, you know, now just play a video there.
All right. So he's got a bunch of videos on here. Well, he wanted us to play the last one. Let's find out
why. The last one. Why would he want us to play the last one? Don't you want to hear the first one?
Two people from separate worlds are about to discover each other in an elevator.
I think we're stuck.
From the creators of 9 Months, Love Actually, and Phone Booth.
So what do you do?
Deliver. How about you?
Working in an office.
So as you can see, you can
check that out.
Your demos, you can have video on there, all your stuff, because if you're doing voiceover, most of the time it's for usually some visual content. Show people how well it goes together with the stuff you do. It's easy to do. You just load a YouTube or Vimeo video, share link into any demo, and your video plays perfectly, just like it did in Steve's there. Now, I use it in my VoiceZam account. I've got some of the documentaries I've worked on in there and the commercials. It's also a great way for on-camera talent to send out their video reels. You didn't think about that one, did you? So if you're doing on-camera and off-camera, here's a great way to show your reels. That's just a great little thing from VoiceZam, and you should try it. VideoZam is free in beta, so you have the perfect opportunity to try it out. So to try VideoZam and all the other great features from VoiceZam, go to EWAB's homepage, which you are probably at right this moment. So if you go down towards the bottom of the page, you will see the VoiceSam logo. Click on that. And when you do, VoiceSam will give you a 45-day free trial. Who else gives you that? Can't beat it. VoiceSam, it is the way to put your demos on your websites.
Darn tootin'.
Yes. That's the cue for the next commercial. I will be right back after this.
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by his helmet.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, George has set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
And he did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
This is East West Audio Body Shop with Dan Leonard in the East and George Whittam in the West. Now, back to Dan and George.
All righty, we're back here on EWABS for the time being. We're still not sure what we're going to call this when I get out west. But
we've toyed around with a lot of ideas.
A lot of different ideas.
One of them that Chris Heward, one of our viewers, sent in, I thought was actually freaking hilarious. The Voice Over Body Shop.
Or
just figure out the acronym that works with that.
Yeah, and that will... And pretty much we'll say it all. Anyway, we got a lot more coming up. But you had some fun last week at this big electronics show, NAMM.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this show is a trade show that covers all of the music industry, what we call the M&I, or music instrument industry. So it's about selling music instruments. But there's also a huge amount of audio gear there. Microphones, preamps, I mean, you name it. I have a ton of video footage, and actually, I don't have it. Lee Penny, our good friend from the show, was actually there shooting for me, and he has the most of it, the majority of it. But I did get a few segments put together, so this will be just one of several probably highlights that will roll out over the next couple of weeks, because there is a lot of cool stuff. So without further ado, here is the NAMM video. That's not waiting for me in the show player. So I'll riff for a little bit longer until I find the NAMM video that didn't end up in the show player because I just now finished cutting it. That's why it's not in the show player. And it's on the desktop because I couldn't put it where it belongs. Oh, I know where it is. Talk amongst yourselves. Is it amongst or among? Amongst yourself?
Look it up. Somebody throw it in the chat room.
Okay, yeah. Here we go. No. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Star Ackerman from IK Multimedia. We're at NAMM 2015, and I'm going to show you the iRig Mic Field. The iRig Mic Field was the first digital stereo recording microphone that connects digitally into your iPhone, iPod Touch, and iPad via the Lightning connector. You can do stereo or mono recordings by plugging digitally into your iOS device. It contains two cardioid condenser electric capsules on either side. There's also an LED indicator, a gain switch, and a headphone monitoring output so that you can record and have pristine sounding audio. It also includes a low noise preamp and will support 24-bit to 48 kilohertz quality recording, so you can have great recording for speeches, lectures, and more. On top of that, it has 115 sound pressure level rating. That's a concert right there. So you can record on your mobile devices pretty much everything you need. Music instruments, electronic and acoustic instruments, and more. It's $99 and it's available from ikmultimedia.com or your favorite music and electronics retailer store. The headphone jack does give you real-time monitoring, and it will also go live out to a PA. Okay. The iRig Mic Studio is the first high-quality studio-grade microphone for all of your platforms. That includes iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, Mac, PC, and Android devices. It connects digitally, and it's the first large condenser capsule microphone. So that's studio quality, meaning it's perfect for recording music instruments, electronic and acoustic instruments, podcasts, speeches, lectures, you name it. It connects digitally through your device using the USB micro port. It has a headphone output for monitoring. There is an LED indicator so that you can make sure that you have the correct gain. And there's also a gain switch here so that you can control the level coming into the device. It'll retail for $179.99, and it'll be available in quarter two from IK Multimedia.
And this is the AG03 and the AG06 over here. Today, this is the AG03. This is a USB audio interface. And it's perfect for musicians on the go, PC gamers, and webcasters and podcasters. Now, this is powered by USB, so you can plug it into your laptop or your iPad. You don't need any power. It just has power itself from the USB. And you can take this pretty much anywhere. We took this out to the beach. We actually played live on the beach using the car speakers, and it sounded great. Okay. And the AG03 has three inputs. It has a mic input and a quarter-inch jack. You can plug in a guitar here, and it has two cables here for mono L right and right. So there's actually an app that comes with the mixer. You can actually control it. The amp simulator just pretty much distortion or whatever. But there's going to be an app that comes with the mixer, and you can actually tweak it out a little bit using the app. Okay, so these three functions right here is what makes this really unique. It has dry channel 1 and 2. That pretty much means channel 1 and 2 completely dry, no effects going sent into the computer. Input mix is pretty much all the inputs, including the effects, being sent to the computer. But the loopback function is what makes this really unique. It pretty much does everything the input mix does, has all the effects, including all the channels being sent to the computer. Also, it loops back the sound coming from the computer, going into the mix, and coming right back into the computer. So say you're doing a podcast live, and you want sound effects or background music. You can actually control the music using this little knob here. It will be available during March or April, and this is $149 and $199.
Hey guys, I'm Kevin Doucette with Steinberg. We're here at NAMM 2015. I'm going to show you one of our cool interfaces that just came out for the show, the UR12. The name kind of explains itself. It's a 12 model, so one in, two out. So you got our Darlington mic pre, which comes from the DM2000 Yamaha mixer. Great mic pre, sounds amazing. And then we got two stereo out here, RCAs on the back. What's nice about this unit, and really handy for voiceovers, it's simple and incredibly easy to use. You plug it in either via USB into, you know, your Mac, your PC. It also comes with Cubase AI, which allows you to record this right out of the box, no extra cost. But what's cool about the mobility is that you can also plug in a phone charger, and this thing is totally ready to go, ready for you to record into your iPad or any iOS device. We'll take a quick look at the front as well. Basically, you've got your gain knob, you've got if you need phantom power, but also a line-in high-Z line input, guitar input, if you want to do that. And if you press this little button here, you'll get direct monitoring, so you have zero latency when you're tracking your vocal. It's better for timing and issues like that. And then, obviously, a headphone out. So that's the UR12 in a nutshell, $99, 192K at 24-bit. No other unit does this in the market at this price. It is a beast. George wanted me to show you guys the UR28M. Great unit. The M stands for like a monitoring interface. This is extremely powerful. It's onboard DSP, so you can record with reverb effects, but also has multiple outs, so you can ABC through different stereo pairs, or if you have a surround system, you've got your six outs here that you can control all in one go. Beautiful unit. A little bit pricier, but definitely worth the price. You got SPDIF out, two independent headphones out, two line inputs, two mic inputs, bus powered again. Extremely versatile unit right here. Just to touch on the mobile recording aspect for voiceovers, with Cubase Pro 8, what you can do now is record. If you're an engineer, you can show you the screen up here in a second, but if you're an engineer and you want to record someone that's on the other side of town or on the other side of the world that has that voice that you need for your project, we've given you this amazing feature. It's called VST Connect. And basically, you just load up your project, you come to project and say VST Connect, and it opens a little window, which I've kind of already set up here, that looks like this. And it's kind of like, you see the video, you see the artist here, they see you kind of like Skype or FaceTime that everyone's familiar with, and then you can hit record and it'll go to them. They download a free plugin off steinberg.net. They open up their systems and then you can record them anywhere in the world, and it goes right onto your hard drive, ready for you to use. You don't have to travel anywhere. You punch in a code, you give them the code over text or email, they punch in the code, and then bang, they show up right in front of you as if they're sitting in the, you know, in your ISO booth in your home studio. No other DAW is doing this right now. It comes with the software stock. It is incredible. Gotta check it out. Thanks for your time, guys. We'll see you next time.
Hi, it's George Whittem reporting for Whittem's World here at NAMM Show 2015 in Anaheim. There's a lot of stuff to see here today. We're having a hard time focusing on voiceover stuff. But here's something that some of you that want a more elaborate studio with more capabilities, being able to control it from multiple spaces. Maybe you have a control area at your desk, but you also have an isolation booth, and you want to be able to have control over everything in both places. Well, this is one way to do it, and do it on a budget. This is the X-Air XR12 from Behringer, and it's a Behringer product, but Behringer bought or is owned by or something with Midas, and most guys in audio know Midas. They make really high-end touring-grade sound consoles, really high-end stuff. Well, basically, you get the brains from Midas equipment, Midas DSP, compressors, EQ, all that technology in a very affordable unit. So it's like a $300 box that gives you four mic preamps. It gives you auxiliary sends for doing a mix for Skype or a phone patch or a Zephyr, things like that, all in one box. But it has no face. Its face is a computer or an iPad or a tablet or an Android. You don't have to, there's no control surface on this. Everything you need to do is going to be just controlled from your existing computer or your tablet. You can buy a $60 Android tablet, throw it in your booth, and it becomes a dedicated controller for this box. Anything you would do with a regular mixer, it can do on this, but you get so much more capabilities with compression and gating and all that. I'm really excited to demo one of these soon. I'm going to contact Behringer to see what I can do to get one of these and try one out in person. Oh, another little feature I forgot to mention. This is also an audio interface. Well, actually, it's an audio recorder. So if you're really worried about losing audio on a long recording and you're doing an audiobook or something, so you want to make sure you got a backup, this little USB port is for a flash drive. It's a standalone recorder. So you put any flash drive in there, and this will also record audio of whatever you're doing. So no matter what, you have a backup recording. Pretty nifty. But a very exciting little piece. The XR12 from Behringer, and it says right on the tag there, $299.99. Pretty sweet.
Yeah, so lots of fun stuff at that show. One thing I want to point out about, I think the coolest thing out of that package was the Yamaha AG03 mixer, because for $150, you can have a little device that sits on your table, and it provides that ability to do playback over Skype. And that's such a pain in the neck to do most of the time, but this little box can do it. So if after you record something, flick a switch, and if they say, I want to hear playback, they hear playback. Really cool. Anyway, well, we'll be right back, but we got to say a thank you first to Harlan Hogan.
Yes, more than a thank you. We got to get people to go over to voiceoveressentials.com and buy his stuff, because it's great stuff. I'm wearing currently on my head here, as you see, the Harlan Hogan Signature Series. See, nice tight shot there. There we go. The Signature Series headphones. We talk about these a lot. Some people say they're different. Well, they are different, because this is what you're supposed to sound like. There's no enhancement here. It is a very flat response. It's not for listening to Pink Floyd or Linkin Park or whatever it is you guys listen to.
They're brutally honest.
They are brutally honest headphones. Great for editing. And if you happen to be wearing them while doing a session or something, and you know enough not to cover both ears, they just flip up real easy.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, no one has to see you wearing it like this. They only have to hear you wearing it like this. But these are a great item over at VoiceOver Essentials. I suggest everybody should have a pair of these just so they have a pair of them. Just because they're so cool. They're comfortable. They don't fall apart. They've got memory foam in the cushions, and the cushions are made of leather.
Actual leather.
I actually slept with these one night listening to Radio Paradise, and it was
paradise.
Actually kind of nice.
And it was paradise.
And it was total paradise. Anyway, go over to voiceoveressentials.com. There is a link right at the bottom of this page, right next to the VoiceAm one, with a picture of Harlan yelling into his
porta booth.
And that will take you right over there. So go over there, buy his stuff, because it's the best stuff there is for voiceover. Thanks again, Harlan.
Thanks, Harlan. You're the man.
All right. We'll be right back with Mary Lynn Wissner, who is waiting patiently in the wings join us here on East West Audio Body Shop. So do not go away.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios. Who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success in one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
Whence came these two radiant celestial brothers, united for an instant as they crossed the stratosphere of our starry window? One from the east and one from the west.
Very good.
And we are back here on East West Audio Body Shop. We have a young lady on the show now who we've been wanting to get on for a while because everybody talks about her. They say she is the greatest thing since sliced rye bread.
Yeah,
talk about a compliment.
I felt great.
That's right. Marilyn Wissner, welcome to East West Audio Body Shop.
Not just white bread, but rye bread.
Rye bread, marbled rye bread.
Woo-hoo.
Who knows where I'm going with that?
Thank you for that wonderful introduction.
Well, you're quite welcome. And like I said, people just rave about the stuff that you do. And you're a busy lady, but you're a casting director and a coach. And, you know, everyone wonders, how do you end up there? You know, we all end up somewhere from somewhere, but how did you get to where you are doing the stuff you're doing from, say, when you were growing up, wherever it was that you grew up? Tell us about yourself.
Well, here's my story. I grew up here in Southern California. I got into the business. My father was a television producer. Grew up in the Valley, so I was surrounded by the industry, and did a lot of commercials and acting when I was a kid. And then when I went to college, I went to UCLA and Cal State Northridge, and my degree was in broadcast journalism.
Ooh, just like me.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved the news. I was interning at NPR, and I worked at CBS News. But when I graduated, I couldn't get a job. I couldn't get a job in the news industry. Or the jobs that they offered were really minimally paying jobs. And this was the late 80s. So I had been an actor. I was doing a lot of, in fact, commercials, working in commercials put me through college. But I thought I kind of wanted to be on the other side of things. And I saw an ad in the Hollywood Reporter to be an assistant voiceover agent. And I really had no idea what voiceovers were. So I applied for the job, and luckily for me, it was with Don Pitts, who at that time, you know, was kind of the godfather of voiceover agents. His clients were Casey Kasem and June Foray and Orson Welles and Dawes Butler and, you know, the names in voiceover. So I started as his assistant, and after a few months, I became a voiceover agent. And then after about a year and a half, Bob Lloyd, who owned the VoiceCaster, which at that time was the only voice casting place in the country, asked me to come on board and be a casting director. And I just fell in love with casting. And this was the heyday of voiceover casting. You know, we didn't have the internet then. We didn't have, you know, people didn't have their websites and all that sort of thing. You would get copy via fax or your FedEx, or you'd copy it over the phone while talking to your advertising agency. And then that's when I started coaching. I found I loved coaching, and I started to notice I would take meticulous notes at casting sessions and notice the same people always got booked. Why are they getting booked? And I would write little, you know, he ad-libbed here, she tweaks her voice here, whatever. And so I started teaching those things that those people do. And then in 1990, I opened up my company, Voices Voice Casting. So we are now celebrating our 25th anniversary this year, which I'm very proud of. And subsequently, I have cast thousands and thousands of radio and TV commercials, video games, audiobooks, ADR for films, animation for TV shows, as well as feature films, narrations for History Channel, Discovery, Nat Geo, you name it. Wherever they need a voice, I get hired to find that voice. And I have continued to teach throughout that time as well. And then about a year and a half ago, I developed everything that I teach, I put into an app. So it's the VoiceOver Self-Direction app for voice actors that they can use out there, because the biggest problem most actors have now, we do everything at home, and they say to me, how do I self-direct? I don't know what to do. So I made an app for them. And yeah, that's me.
Wow, that's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I've heard about that app. We can talk
catching
about that.
Catching breath. Catching breath.
Yes, take a hit of oxygen. And
it's kind of funny because you say, how do you get there? And it's like, you know, I have a daughter in college now, and then one that's about to go off to college and, you know, picking majors. And I said, Mom, so many people never end up with what they major in. And I was kind of like, yeah, you're right, you know. So that it happens.
Yeah. Well, you and I are in the same place in our lives. You know, you start doing college tours, you learn how long a student can walk backwards while giving you a tour.
I have the app up on the screen, by the way, just so people can get a little idea what it looks like. This is right off of the iTunes store. And you have it for Android, too.
Yes.
You didn't leave the Android people out. Thank you. Very smart.
We're all one happy family.
Yeah. So what is it that the app, how can an app teach you or show you how to self-direct yourself?
What I developed several years ago, and this all, everything that I coach and the way I teach really comes from the casting perspective, because that's what I do every day is cast, hopefully every day. And so that's what I teach. And I have, you know, the 25 plus years that I've been casting, the same five popular directions always come up. So this is what I teach. I teach actors how to get into those five popular directions. And so what I did is I sort of, you know, encapsulated all that into an app so that when they go into their home studio and if the direction says, we need a real guy, very conversational, talking to his best friend, no cell, no announcer, he's chatty and quirky. Well, they can look at the app and then they look up, what does real guy really mean? How do I get into that? And I have a sample script of a real person script as well as an audio sample. And then I put on there, I like to have actors, sometimes when I have actors come and audition for me and say it's a real person spot, I'll say, you know, let's do a take two. You're still a real person. You're still chatty, conversational, not announcer. But I want you to add an emotion to change it up, to show the producer, the casting director or the ad agency person that you have a range. So we add an emotion of mischievousness or, you know, cautious or, you know, quirky or whatever. And just adding a little emotion can really change up your read. So you're still respecting the direction that you were asked to do, but adding an emotion changes that up. So that's on the app as well. So it's mostly kind of just a guide to help you hone in on a direction, you know, that you might not know how to do when you're there at home auditioning or doing a job.
And they can just find that at the app store.
Correct.
Okay. And what do you look for?
It's called the VoiceOver Self-Direction app.
Just type that in, you'll find it.
Yes.
Well, it's fascinating because you know, I got one today that was like, we're not looking for a polished actor. I'm like, well, then I'll tell you what, I'll just suck right now. And see what happens.
I'm not a real person because we're not real, right?
That's right, absolutely. Yeah. Anyway, now you're in the casting process. You know, there's always this question, like, where did the word casting come from? One thinks that it's like, well, let's see what's out there and see what we can reel in to make this spot here. I mean, it's an interesting word. But what is the casting process like? I mean, you're sitting there in your office and your phone rings and they say, we want you to cast something. Ready? Go. What happens?
Well, typically, I'll either get a phone call, and I think this is pretty standard for most casting directors. Now, pay-to-play sites, I think, the process would be a little bit different, you know, but typically I'll get a phone call from a ad agency producer or a production company, and they'll say, hey, Mary Lynn, this is our project, TV spot, radio spot, whatever it might be. We need a voice that sounds like this. And then a lot of times, and then I get them to kind of just break it down even more for me. If they just say, we don't want somebody to sound like an announcer. Well, do you want them to have any character to their voice, more real, whatever. So I get them to be as clear as possible. I write all that down. And, you know, then I get the information, where is it going to run? How much is it going to pay? Is it union or non-union? All those particulars. And then what I do, I've been doing this so long that even as I'm writing all this information down, my brain automatically just starts thinking, oh, so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And then what I'll do is I do like a work order, what we have at our office, and I put all the names of people I know off the top of my head that would be great for it. Whether they have an agent or not doesn't matter to me if I know them. And then I'll put the calls out and say, I've got this copy. I want to see so-and-so in our office tomorrow. Or what I've also been doing a lot lately is I just send the copy straight to the agent's office and they do it there at their office or have their actors do it at home and send it to me. And then we get back the auditions and a whole bunch of MP3 files, and then it comes the listening process, which is a whole nother crazy part of it.
I think that's probably where most people who are watching this show right now and listening very intently. Well, I don't know what happens in there when you're listening to all these auditions. How long do you listen? What gets something round-filed before it even gets to anybody's ears and that sort of thing? What's the listening process like? Go
well, tell us a little question, bit about that. Because usually the way I listen to something is based on what the specs were for that particular spot. Like say it is a real, you know, we want a super real person, not announcery, no cell and all that.
Right.
But this is something I'm always stressing to actors. What you have to remember is when the casting director gets all these auditions back, I don't get to see your face or your cute smile or any of that stuff. I just get you know, maybe 60 to 100 MP3 files sitting on my desktop. And I know this is typical for most casting people. We listen to the first line or two. If something's interesting in their read, or they threw in a neat ad lib, or something kind of interesting, I'll shortlist them and move that MP3 file over to my right side of my desktop. If it's kind of, I just kind of put it down at the bottom. Because what you have to remember, you're all going to sound the same because you fit the specs. So yep. no matter how wonderful and talented you are, when we get to about guy number 10 or 12, we're bored already. So you've got to think in terms of what you're going to do on your audition to make yourself stand out. And, you know, that's something that's very important. And this is what I also teach actors when I do coaching, is how to do that. But, yeah, so that's pretty much the process. And when I narrow it down, after I've narrowed down that long list to maybe 30 people, then I'll go back and listen to their whole audition.
Right.
So typically most of us only get to hear the first line or two.
So what you're saying is that first line or two better be total kick ass, or it's got to, what is it that's going to grab somebody, you know, in that first 10 seconds? Because most of us are spending, you know, 5-10 minutes on an audition when we get it and we go through it and we're going over it like, okay, they want us to sound like this. They want to sound like this. But the bottom line is that may be what they want you to sound like, but you're going to sound like everybody else reading it. How do you make yourself sound the way they want without sounding like everybody else? Because, I mean, you're just yourself, and, you know, what is it that grabs your attention right off the bat?
You brought up something really important. Yeah, you're just yourself, but what most people don't do is they aren't themselves.
Themselves, right.
They're doing the voice they think they're supposed to sound like. They're hearing on their, and they're, when they, and that's the biggest number, I think that's the number one mistake most voice actors make, besides reading too fast. They do the voice they think they're supposed to do, and rather than just being themselves. And I am a huge proponent, and I'm always telling actors, ad lib, throw something off to just jar me. Because ultimately, if you book the spot, they'll say, you know what really stood out is that you ad libbed, you improvised a little bit when you got going there. It's all kind of a numbers game. It's really scientific. It's you take with that spot and how you make it yours. I like to tell actors, I want it to sound like, you know, you were sitting there having lunch with your best friend and this microphone hovered over your table and picked up 30 seconds of your conversation and they made a commercial out of it. And you just happen to be talking about, you know, McDonald's or something.
Right, right.
So, you know, don't be afraid to put your own punctuation in. Don't be afraid, especially on a real person spot. Do not be afraid to ad lib. Do something that's, you know, truly, truly you, and not what you think you're supposed to sound like. Does that make sense?
I think so. That makes total sense. I mean, yeah. It's what we're taught, and you know, this thing gets in front of you here, and it's like, it's a different world. You know,
we put our pretty voice on. I always like to say it's like you're reading your book report in front of the classroom voice, because, you know, and I I've told many actors this as well. A lot of times I've worked with many major celebrities and we get really excited. Oh, so-and-so's coming into the office today, because, you know, all these movie stars want to do voiceovers. But when you get them in the booth, they can't read a piece of copy to save their life because they think they suddenly have to put on the voice.
Right.
And they forget to act. And that's when, you know, voiceover is really, especially for someone like me and other people that have been casting for so long, to me, it's the real sort of barometer for a performer versus an actor. I can tell who's a good actor. And that's why the celebrities that do a lot of voiceover, the Susan Sarandons, you know, the Jeff Bridges, those guys, they do a lot of them because they're good at it. Other ones are not as great at it.
Right. And you can tell immediately who it is because they're just being them.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, Jeff Bridges, I've directed a few times. He talks like that. That's the way he speaks. You know, he just kind of has this cadence.
Yeah. That's interesting. It's an interesting thing to study. And I think for most voice actors, there is nothing more important than understanding that. And then being able, if you land the job, you got to be able to walk in there and do it again. Only better.
You know what's funny, though? I like to clarify that.
Please.
A lot of times when you get to the session, they'll say, the reason you booked this job It's because you ad-libbed and you just riffed and you were just you.
Yeah. But here's how we want you to do it.
But we don't want you to do that. At the-
yeah, exactly.
But the point is, it got you the job. So right. You have to think in terms of when ultimately that producer or casting director is listening back to all those auditions, they've got anywhere from 20 to 100 people to listen to who all sound the same. So that's why I said it's sort of scientific. It's more about doing something that just rattles their bored, jaded cages.
Right.
And, you know, makes you stand out.
Yeah. Now, do you have your favorites? Obviously, you were saying earlier on that it's like, well, this person or that person and that sort of thing. But you're always looking for something fresh, too, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my favorite talent, I do have some that I know I can always count on for certain types of reads. You know, I know if I get that super great female improv-y thing, you know, Lori Allen's my gal. Or, you know, there's certain types of people you know are just so good at that. Or, you know, the cosmetic sexy voice, I know who to call. You know, so, yes, there are definite, you know, favorites there. But I'm also a really big supporter of, you know, bringing in new I'm kind of known for that with a lot of my clients, is that I don't always bring in the tried and true. I really do like to bring in new people, which is why I love to travel, you know, outside of LA and meet talent from other cities and do workshops in other places, because I've met some amazing talent and have used them, you know. So I think that's kind of the way our industry is now, and we have to support that.
Yeah. Now, you teach classes. And now I've heard, and this is one of the things I'm really looking forward to when I arrive in Southern California, and that's the ability to take classes and do workshops with wonderful people like you who are part of the industry. You're the people that do it. Do you really discover and develop talent with these classes?
Yeah. Like I said, I have met some amazing talent and have worked with them. Some, you know, I started as a private coach with them, and then, you know, gotten them into really great agents, have sort of nurtured them. You know, it doesn't happen that often that I find somebody that's so amazing, I can't wait to push them to an agent, but it has happened. And, you know, it makes me extremely proud. And the other thing is I produce, for the past 6 years, I produced these series of workshops called Meet the Pros and Meet the Agents here in LA. So I invite pros from, you know, I have promo producers come in. I have casting directors from Disney or Nickelodeon or Lucasfilms. I've got video game casting people come in, and any talent that a working pro can sign up for one of these nights, and they get to read for them and get directed and all kinds of, you know, feedback and suggestions from the pro. And then I also have Meet the Agent nights where talent can come and meet specific LA agents and read for them as well. So the nice thing about that too is because I'm there all the time when we do these events, you know, I just am a sponge and get to learn from these people. And then I also, you know, then translate all that to my students as well.
Wow. That's what you got to do when you're really trying to.
And I wanted to tell you too,
please.
This past year, so many of my talent or people I know and the people that I met at FAFCON, where I finally, you know, got to meet you, said, oh, I wish I was in LA and I could do that. And I started doing the Google Hangouts, where now we're just starting our second series where people that aren't in LA can sign up, and we'll do up to 8 talent, and you get to work with one of these pros, you know, online. So that's kind of fun too.
Yeah. Oh, that's, well, and that's what I've been hearing about. I have some friends and they're like, oh, we've been working with Marilyn Wister. Oh, she is so wonderful. And I can't wait to do this.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. Your reputation is one of great accolades. Now, if anybody else in our audience, of which there are tons of you, has a question for Marilyn, please throw it in the chat room, and our chat room monitor tonight, the one and only Shelly Avellino, will relay it on to us.
So yeah, the chat room is packed, by the way. I mean, yeah, it's capacity. We can fit 50 and it is packed.
Yay!
You're very popular.
So am I supposed to see the chat room?
No, you don't have to see the chat room. We will. We see it. We've got all this information right in front of us.
Okay,
just
cool.
Relax and be yourself.
Hi to Shelly.
Yes. Yeah. Just act like you're having a conversation with a friend. and that okay. will that'll
and the microphone hovered over it, right?
Exactly. Now, when do you do these classes?
Usually our Meet the Agent nights are on Tuesday nights, and then our Meet the Pros nights are Thursday nights. We do them over at VoiceTrax, and then we do our Google Hangouts. I only do like 5 in a series. Like coming up, I've got Cliff Zelman, and it's all going to be about the automotive read, and then Jody Gottlieb, and I've got Scott Parkin, who's an incredible improv coach. He's going to do a night, and Tom Pinto is going to be all about broadcast. And those are Wednesday nights, and those are only for an hour. But again, they're like I said, they're online, and we've had promo producers and such too. So those are usually Wednesdays. But if they go to voicescasting.com, they can check that out on the workshop page.
Outstanding.
Yes.
All righty. Well, here's a couple of questions we have from our amazingly huge studio audience tonight. Paisano Tom asks, sure would like Marilyn's take on the biggest change in casting since she opened her own shop 25 years ago.
Pay to play. And that's all I'll say.
Well, you can say a little bit more than that if you want.
You know, obviously the internet completely changed our industry. You know, when I started, I don't want to age myself, but we recorded people on quarter inch tape. I would edit with a razor blade, you know, and then we moved to cassette and then DAT and CD and so on. But definitely the internet and the pay to play completely changed it. And what I noticed, you know, there are not a whole lot of voiceover casting directors like me that's what we do 24/7. You know, pay to play is a totally different entity. And the kinds of things, you know, I'm very fortunate that I have producers and clients that are very loyal and do not like that type of casting. They tend to go with casting directors, I find usually for more sort of major campaigns where they need a lot of attention. I'm kind of finding that's where that goes. So I think that's probably the two biggest changes in the last 25 years.
Yeah, well, clearly the internet's had a major impact. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here right now.
Yeah. Bill Russell says, and by the way, this is the voice you heard at the top of the show. Bill Russell says, hey, Mary Lynn, do you know me yet?
Now.
Oh, you'll be hearing from him.
Wasn't Bill Russell a basketball player?
Yeah, that was my first reaction.
Okay. They all want to do voiceover, you know?
Yeah. Well, Bill Russell actually had a great voice. He was great with doing basketball commentary. But this is a different Bill Russell, a very different talent, but a very talented guy. Shelley asks herself, what's another way to stand out? This is a great question. Start in the middle of the script? Depending on the copy, I'm sure you could probably get away with that.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question, Shelley. I think depending on the copy, you maybe could. But you do have to remember, it's such a fine line because you don't want to disrespect that a copywriter could have been working not only on that particular script, you know, himself or herself, but many people might have been working on that, no matter how short it is, that particular script for like a month or more. So you don't want to completely disrespect it. But I find that the thing that really tends to stand out more is doing some kind of ad lib at the top. Don't even slate. Because your name is on your MP3 file, and I find that it sort of kind of ruins the rhythm. But if it's a real person spot or like a wry, dry, tongue-in-cheek, kind of quirky, snarky kind of thing, go off and riff at the beginning, couple sentences, and then, you know, or even one sentence and go right into it. Starting in the middle of the copy, I'm not so sure it's a great idea. It wouldn't bother me, but I don't know that my clients, you know, Shelley, I think I'd start with something more at the beginning.
Yeah. Now, the stuff you primarily work with is commercial work, not documentary.
Well, everything. Commercials are kind of the bread and butter of our industry. So those are cast pretty much almost every day.
Right.
Animation is not cast as frequently, you know, maybe a couple times a month. Video games, the same. Audiobooks. I don't do a whole lot of audiobook casting. Those mostly come, you know, right to the publishers. But every once in a while we'll get some. But yeah, radio and TV commercials are like I said, the bread and butter, and those get cast more than the others.
Right. And that's the stuff that pays the best.
Absolutely.
It's the easiest, but it pays the best, at least time-wise.
Yeah. Yeah. ADR and looping pays really well, too. That's a good one.
Oh, good to know.
Yeah.
All righty. Let's see here. Beth Windsor Stewart asks, so 100 folks all sounding the same. How likely is it that a casting director will really and truly listen to all of them versus listening and saying, wow, I'm tired. Number 17 is best so far. I'm done.
Likely in my office is 100%. Likely at an ad advertising agency is maybe 50%. And because what you have to remember, when I get hired by an advertising agency, I want them to come hire me again. So that's I'll awesome. Listen to every single voice because I want to find maybe a diamond in the rough or find that voice. But I have sat in many audition sessions at the advertising agency where, you know, say the auditions come back from, you know, the six agencies in town, and they'll listen, oh, just randomly, okay, here's CESD. They listen to guy one, good, guy two, great, guy three, great, guy four. Oh, yeah, he's good. Let's just go ahead and book him. So I have seen that happen. So I always tell actors, if you have an audition with a casting director, whether you go to their office or you have to send in a file, go make sure you do it. Because your odds of getting booked are going to be great. Much better than getting booked on a pay-to-play or even going to your agents. If you have an audition at your agents, still go do it. Your odds of getting booked are, you know, as pretty good as going to a casting director. Pay-to-play, you know, it's a little bit harder because you're up against a ton more people. So I've seen both. But again, I think the answer would be the casting director will listen to every single read because we have to submit those to our client.
Absolutely. Now, here's a couple of questions here that sort of all fit together because people are always asking this because the majority of our audience is not in LA. They are at the far-flung corners of the universe in some cases. Reen Vogel and Steve Tardio ask, what are the opportunities for voice actors outside of LA? What's the best way to pursue these opportunities?
Okay. Well, Steve's in New York, so he's in a good market.
And he's doing well in New York. So.
Yeah. So Steve's in New York.
He's under 2 feet of snow, but he's doing fine.
That is actually, you know, one thing that I think there are so many opportunities now, being in the middle of the country, you know, than there God, there used to be 5 years ago because, again, with the pay-to-play things or opportunities that you can market yourself to smaller markets, you know, smaller advertising agencies, smaller production companies. There are some of the, you know, like B-level cities, and I don't mean that like disrespectfully, but say, you know, I don't know. Milwaukee and Kansas City, you know, not like LA, New York, or Chicago. Some of those places do have voiceover representation. They have agencies out there. So you can market to those. And the great thing is you can have more than one voiceover agent. So you could have an agent. You can be, you know, situated in Nebraska, but you could have an LA agent and you could have a New York agent. So the opportunities are there for you. It's just how you market yourself. It's hard work. I know that. But again, I think it's really kind of what you make of it.
Absolutely.
I don't know if that answered the question, but.
No, it does. I mean, the internet certainly has leveled the playing field, although there are certainly some people with shovels at the other end trying to build another berm, you know, to make sure that the people from out of town don't really do that kind of stuff.
I know. Yeah, and just because you have a home studio, you know, we always say this does not make you a voiceover actor.
That's right.
Still have to be able to act. You have to be able to interpret copy, and it's hard work. And I give those. My eyes were really opened going to that FAFCON this past fall, because you know you take for granted living in LA how easy and you know easily accessible everything is to us, and I was so impressed by talent in the middle of the country and what they do and how they get work and market themselves. So you know if you do it, it can, you you know, and you're talented, I think there are many opportunities for you. Yes, you're not going to get some of the animation things or maybe video game things, but commercially, I think you could have a decent career if you have the right representation and marketing skills.
Yeah. Beth also wonders, did you ever get the nickel diner and try the maple glazed bacon donut or the French toast?
That's so funny. I thought of her because, no, I haven't. And I thought of you, Beth, because on like Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives the other day, or one of those shows, they had it on there. And I thought, and I even saved a card she wrote me to remind me to go there, So no, I have not, but I will get there and I'll send you a picture.
Outstanding. Steve asks also, and this is a good question because we can talk about this very, very quickly. How do you coach people that are out of town? Via Skype? George and I, of course, will recommend the platform we're on now, which is called Zoom.
I like this platform. This is new to me, this Zoom. Yes, I coach via Skype or over the phone. But I'll look into this Zoom thingy.
It's zoom.us.
Yeah, it's very cool.
We love it. We love it. All right. Peter O'Connell, somebody else joining me here from the Queen City, Buffalo, New York. Ask great question. What are new voiceover performing trends that you are seeing / hearing?
Well, that real person thing has not gone out of style.
Darn.
I know. But I will say I'm getting used to be maybe 10, 15 years ago, you know, auditions for women were way down there and the guys were up here. But it's kind of coming up even more so, and that's making me really happy. So on some pretty big national campaigns, they've been asking for a female voice. But again, it's still in that very real zone, not hard sell, not, you know, monotone or anything, but just very off the cuff, just talking. No, you know, we say here, you know, tell it, don't sell it, just talk.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. George, your turn for a couple.
Okay, so where do we leave off? Mary Lynn, what are new VO performing trends that we just asked?
That's the one question I just asked.
And then the next one, Suzanne Roberts. The chat, see, this is why you're not allowed to watch the chat room, Mary Lynn, because it's very distracting. Suzanne says, two questions. So ad-libs are okay for TV spots? I was told never ad-lib for TV.
Here's my feeling. It's an audition. It's not the spot.
Right.
Your job is to jump off the desktop. Now, again, yeah, I walk a fine line with that, because if it is a TV spot and or say a tag, it's really not appropriate. Or if it's a TV spot and it's like what we call the authoritative read, it's very matter of fact, to the point, you know, an insurance ad at Allstate, we can help you with this. It won't work to ad lib.
Right.
But if it's a TV spot that's a real person, your job is to get the job. So a perfect example of this, and I hope she doesn't mind me telling, most of you, I know George knows Lori Allen, but
incredibly
talented voice actress and on-camera actress as well. And she's the voice of Valspar, which are those two, you know, yeah, there she is. Those chameleons, you know, that change color and the paint. They're talking about the paint.
Right.
She booked that spot, which ended up becoming several spots and huge national network campaign, because she got the audition super late. She was rushing to do everything else. Her agent said, we need this back in 15 minutes. She did it at home. She put the mic on and just was like, oh, crap, I got to do this audition. And let me see. Okay, yeah, I got all this coffee and I'm hyper. And okay, what is that? Okay, I'm supposed to say this. Da, 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 da. She just left it on the audition. And they said that's why she booked the spot, because she just went riff, and went right into the copy in her own voice. And that's what they loved about it. It was natural. It was organic. So
tons again, of personality.
Yeah. Well, she's definitely got the personality plus,
yeah.
But, you know, if it's a real person spot or that sort of wry, dry, snarky, sarcastic kind of fun off the cuff type of read, I say, do it, go for it. I'll tell you this, and this is something I always tell actors. In the 25 plus years I've been casting, maybe 3-4 times has a producer said, please don't ad lib. You know, they don't care.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She does have a follow up, and this, you know, take this with a grain of salt, this question, but does being on pay to plays hurt a talent? Just your presence of being listed on one. Is anybody seeing that? Does that hurt you?
I don't think so. I think especially, again, if you are somebody that's not in a major market, or you're kind of new to the business, or you don't have representation, so you're not getting those auditions from agents or managers or some of these rosters, I think that it's not going to hurt you. When I do know that some of the LA agents here, when the talent gets going, they do not want their talent on there. And that's just purely an agent's prerogative, I guess. But as far as me, from a casting perspective, I don't care. You know, I look at it as, hey, that's an enterprising actor just trying to keep working.
We're really curious about the ad-lib stuff, clearly. Yeah. Reen says, can you give an example of an ad-lib riff, please?
Okay. Here's I don't want to give all my secrets away.
Oh, I know.
I coach this.
Draw the line when you need to.
Okay, here, let me. I just pulled up this script. It's actually it's not really a commercial, but it's a something for. What else do I have here? It's kind of boring. Perfect. Okay, I'll just tell you. Okay, say the first line of the script is, introducing the new Egg McMuffin from McDonald's. Start your day with McDonald's, okay? First place, and say the direction is, we want a real person. She's conversational, friendly, mom to mom, chatty, no sell, no announcer, very real. Okay, number one, real people don't say introducing. We don't say, George, introducing dinner. Come down, come have a seat, you know? We just don't talk like that. So what I like to tell actors to do is think in terms of every piece of voiceover copy that you read is an answer. So think of a question that might have been asked beforehand, like, hey, you know, Mary Lynn, what do you like to have for breakfast? So I would take that question and help me formulate an ad lib. So what am I going to have for breakfast? Oh, check this out, you guys. Introducing the new McDonald's Egg McMuffin. It's so great. And it's a great way to start your day. See what I did? I just sort of formulated some sort of question that maybe a friend asked me, then used that to come up with an ad lib, which was, I just kind of came in with a few little lines really to get right into the copy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's like a ramp up.
You guys are just nodding.
Yeah.
No, that's the way, you know, that I was always taught. It's like, well, you know, they've got a backstory. Sometimes just create something that and go with it. But, you know, it's always like, well, edit that part out, you know. But and now it's like, if it fits, if it works into the ad lib.
Sometimes leave it in.
Sometimes leave it in. Sometimes you just got to listen to that little voice up top that says.
And sometimes.
Go ahead.
Well, so many actors are afraid to ad lib because, again, and I understand that, because they want to respect the copy. But I'm going to tell you right now, the biggest money makers here in Los Angeles, that's what they all do. You know, that's what they all do.
Mm-hmm.
So unless the copy says, you know, this spot has got to come in at 23.8 seconds, you know, then maybe I would be a little careful with your ad lib, you know, and either do it or don't do it. I look at it this way. If it kind of organically just wants to pop out of your mouth anyway, then let it go. You know, do it.
Voila.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Gold right there. Gold.
Yeah. A couple of people are wondering if you do one-on-one sessions with people, you know, via Skype or whatever platform of your choice.
Yes, I do. That's what I do a lot of, via Skype or phone, like I said. And we work on whatever it is you want to work on. You know, a lot of people, actors come to me, hey, I've auditioned for a gazillion things. I'm not booking. What am I doing wrong? So we break that down and work on it. Or sometimes actors will come to work with me because they're about to record their demo and they sort of want to fine tune those reads. Or they're about to go meet with an agent or they just kind of want to perfect, you know, their reads. So it's really tailored to whatever it is you need to work on.
All right. Reen has another question here about marketing yourself. Should you market yourself to voice agents first or to ad agencies, production houses first? A long, awkward silence.
I'm trying to think, like, because I think it sort of depends what your status is or like where you are in the process of your career. If you're brand new, I think you should try and get representation first. And if you don't have luck with that, then yes, in the meantime, you could still try and market yourself to production companies and casting directors. Because again, you know, like I said, I audition a lot of actors that don't have representation, not because, you know, they aren't good. They're really good. It's just that most of the voiceover agents have everybody they need. So for them to take on somebody new, it has to really be a talent that fills a hole in their agency or, you know, has something so unique about their sound or delivery that they really need to sign that person. So, not having an agent doesn't really bother me. Sometimes it makes it harder to find somebody, but it doesn't bother me. So I think you will get more opportunities, yes, when you have an agent. But in the meantime, there are things you can do definitely on your own.
I guess it depends on the market. I mean, if you're gunning for just local advertisers, you know, in a small market.
Talk to the creative directors in the agencies.
Absolutely. And most major corporations have audiovisual departments. And they kind of, from what I've discovered, they love it when you come to them and say, I'm a voice talent. I can do you. Oh, great. You just made my job easier. Because they kind of are not on that production side of things or the talent side of things. They're maybe more involved in, you know, the production part of it and don't know anything about talent and procuring talent and how to talk to talent or direct talent. So they really like when actors approach them or send them a demo.
Do you have your crystal ball polished up? Because here's a predicting the future question from Patrick Sweeney. He says, when is the announcer read going to come back?
Patrick, hi. I don't know.
Isn't stuff in cycles? Just like fashion. And
we can hope.
Isn't it going to come around again?
You know, I don't think it'll ever go away. It's just not still super popular right now.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm seeing that they want it almost campy, you know? But
It's either like really over the top, sort of like a caricature of an announcer, or it's the other way, which is really natural in the conversation. Right.
Yeah, most of the time what we see is, you know, a parody of a heavy-duty announcer is they hire.
Yeah, that's what I mean with the campy. Yeah. I have not seen any spots lately that I'm trying to think, you know, last few things we've cast, what might have been, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. But that's not to say that there's not a need out there for that type. It just might not be in commercials right now. You know, definitely narration. You know, we do a lot of stuff for History Channel, and sometimes they want that sort of classic announcer sound. Sometimes they want something definitely more storyteller, but sometimes they ask me to bring in very classic kind of old school announcer, you know, not campy, you know, hitting you over the head with it, but definitely somebody that kind of cuts through and has some nice presence in their voice.
Yeah. With all the cable channels now doing all sorts of stuff, there's tremendous opportunity, you know, in that particular genre of stuff.
Yeah.
Final question tonight from his weekly question. Devox asks, "Do you listen to, when you listen to demos? Is there anything that are do's and what are don'ts in a demo?"
Short and sweet is a do. Do not put your name. Don't say, hi, this is Dan Leonard, and here's my demo. You don't want to do that.
Right.
Diversify. I mean, the one thing I get so many submissions a month, but I do listen to every demo. But if I listen to the first spot and then the second spot sounds the same kind of read, I don't even get to the rest of the demo. So you want to make sure that you've got, you know, you're honoring different directions, different genres. If you don't do that particular genre excellently, don't do it, you know, because there's nothing worse than not being able to replicate that sound when you do go in for an audition or say, you know, the agent heard your demo and wants you to come in. But, you know, and then keep the spots nice and short so it keeps moving.
Absolutely. Well, this has been a treasure trove of info this evening. And our audience is like incredibly appreciative. And now they know why everybody likes working with you so much. Because you tell it like it is.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for being. Now, if they want to get a hold of you and do one-on-one sessions with you or do these, do the meet the pros and all that, where can they get a hold of you and get information on that?
Okay, cool. So you can visit voicescasting.com. It's one very long word, voicescasting.com.
It's right below you there, so write it down if you're watching. Okay.
And meet the pros and meet the agents information, as well as the Google Hangouts, are on the workshop and events page. And then on the contact page, you can, my phone number and email is on there if you want to talk to me about coaching or anything else. I'm happy to get submissions as well, so you can email me your MP3s.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Marilyn, it's great to see you again since we saw each other in Tucson. I can't wait to run into you again when I'm out that way. And of course, we will have you on again because
you got
some great stuff there. We really appreciate it. Thanks for being with us tonight.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, George.
Thank you. Great time. Bye. Thanks a lot.
All right. Well, we still got a little bit left here, so don't go anywhere, Mike.
You're listening to East West Audio Body Shop.
VoiceOver Extra, the voiceover industry's online news, education, and resource center 24/7. Hundreds, probably thousands of free how-to articles for voiceover success, ranging from home studio to voice acting to business. A free voiceover industry directory, calendar of industry events, resource links, a store, and much more. Bi-monthly webinars on all topics of voiceover, free subscriptions to newsletters, reports, announcements, daily news, and features at voiceoverextra.com.
Dad?
Yeah, honey?
When you watch East West Audio Body Shop, why do you keep hitting your forehead?
And why do you keep yelling WTF?
And what does WTF even mean?
Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. Yeah, that's what it means.
I think you made that up.
Girls, just go do your homework. Right now I'm watching George and Dan on EWABS.
Okay.
All right. Fine broadcasting quality tonight. Now stop that.
That was intentional.
Okay. I sort of figured that. By the way, I've got a webinar coming up on VoiceOver Extra. We've moved it to February 26th because I'm going to be in California on the 11th. But we're going to talk about what's the best mic for you for VoiceOver. Because, gee, we haven't been asked that one enough. And I want to make sure that we clear up the final answer on that. And that's on February 26th. Don't miss it. Go over to voiceoverextra.com and you can sign up for that one. All righty. Coming up in a couple of weeks, next week, as a matter of fact, we're going to talk about audiobooks. You know, one of my favorite subjects, but we've got somebody who knows an awful lot about the production and the reading of audiobooks. Jeff Kafer will be with us.
Holy cow.
Yeah, he'll actually be with us. Now, I'm missing part of this. What's the rest of it? Why can I not see the rest of my
copy? I don't know. We got some formatting that kind of got screwed up on the show notes document for some reason, but...
Wait. I think I can fix it here. Wait a second. Who else is on the show? Gee, it's great the whole time through, and then boom, gone.
Shelly was like, I think I screwed up the show notes document.
Yeah, probably. Okay, here we go. We've got, there it is. David Wilson is going to be on the show from Crossroads Press. And has Amy agreed to be on the show too?
Amy is very coy about being on the show right now, but I will work on her. I do hope to get her on.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about audiobooks next week with those folks. February 9th, we're going to talk about broadcast narration. which is something, you know, some of us have a lot of experience with, and the exact opposite of what Marilyn was talking about. But Tom Pinto, who she mentioned, while we were talking with her tonight, will be on our show. March 9th, we have a great show coming up. This is going to be totally different, and you'll all want to be there for it because we're not going to do it at our regular time. Because there are lots of people on the far side of the world, in the Canary Islands, in Great Britain, in New Zealand, who watch this show, but they got to watch it in replay. They wanted us to do it live, so we're actually going to do an international special broadcast at noon Pacific time, 3 Eastern time, and that's like, you know, morning time in Christchurch and Sydney and that sort of thing. So we'll be doing a live show to the rest of the world, to the four corners of the globe and across the seven seas on March 9th. But you can be there for it, too, and talk to all these people that we're going to have from all different parts of the world. I know we're getting some people from England and the Far East, and the Close East, and the East Side, and those types of places.
The Far East.
The East Side, yeah. Anyway, who are some of our donors this week? And remember, you can be a donor and help us make the show even better if you thought such was possible.
Jeffrey Scott Chambers, Eric Aragone, Nick Jostin, or Jostin. That's a new one to me. Thank you, yep. Nick. What else? Patty Gibbons. We've got a bunch here on another day from Amanda Fellows. We got another one here from Brian Page. And my dad, again, stop doing that, Dad. Come on. Jeez. Bill Russell. Man, it goes on and on. Maureen Vogel. Shelley Avellino. There's folks who are volunteering on the show and donating on the show. Are you kidding me?
Thank you, guys. We don't get it. We must be doing something right.
I guess so. Thanks a lot. It's really, really nice, you guys.
We really do appreciate it.
I have a promotion that ends at the end of the month. I've been really remiss to promote it on our own show. It's funny how that works. But there's this thing I'm doing called Fresh Sound for the month of January. It ends at the end of the month. And if you can find it over at vostudiotech.com/freshsound, it's $97. And it's sort of a package where you get a half hour of live support with me. I let you set in up to 3 audio samples for evaluation. And if we've done a rack or a stack or any kind of processing in the past, we'll do a refresh on it, tune it up, and get it ready for you. So it's all bundled up in one little package for $97.
Cool. All righty. Plus narrator helper, because Amy knows how to do that kind of stuff with audiobooks, and maybe she'll talk a little bit more about it when she's
I'd love to have her perspective on what it's like to, you know, what a narrator helper like herself needs from the voice actor to do the job smoothly.
That's right. And with all the great information we had tonight, Marilyn Wister had all sorts of great tips and great stuff. If you want to get what was on the show, and maybe you missed something, we have great show notes. The show logs are here on our website. Every show, Jack DeGolia is sitting there in shorthand, writing every last word that goes on in our show. And you'll be able to find exactly where it is so you can watch it on YouTube and see it for yourself in case you miss it or want to see it again, which you absolutely do. So thanks to Jack for doing that. Our YouTube channel is there, all 175 episodes of EWABS will be up there. You realize we're heading towards our 4th year here, if you can possibly believe that.
Is that being middle-aged when it comes to webcasts? Are we getting the middle ages?
As I like to say, middle age is 5 years from wherever I am. But yeah, we're coming up on 4 years of doing EWABS. So we want to thank all our wonderful audience for sticking with us through thick and thicker. Let's see here. Also, we have a podcast, and how can they get that?
Yeah, the podcast is on our website. It is at ewebs.com. There's a link for the podcast. But if you want to get more direct feed direct into your mobile device, go to iTunes. You can find it there. You can also get the Stitcher app. If you're into Stitcher, it's on Stitcher's player. So you just type in ewebs, and just about anywhere you might find a podcast, you type in ewebs, you'll probably find us. If you don't, please tell us, because we want to make sure we're there.
We want to make sure it's there and it's working. Please like us on Facebook if you haven't. I don't see how you couldn't have possibly. Do you know how many people have liked us on Facebook? Everybody in voiceover has liked us on Facebook.
It's been a great,
Yeah, if you haven't, do it anyway. Follow us on Twitter because we send out a lot of tweets on stuff and when the show is and who's on the show and how great the show was last night. Why did you miss it? And you just click the link. Takes you right there. You can watch the whole show. And for those of you sitting in New York, you know, you can go on an EWABS marathon in the next couple of days because you're not going anywhere. People in Boston give you an extra couple of days because you're getting 3 feet of snow. Also, do we have someone doing our thank the sponsors tonight?
No, we don't have a thank the sponsors spot yet. We need to get one of those from you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we have one for the opener.
Yeah, but we have one for the closer.
We need one for the closer. We need that. We need an acknowledgments clip too. So if you guys are getting tired of hearing the voices that we hear at the top of the show, send your version in. We'll start using it. I'll start flying it in. It's a lot of fun to hear the new voices.
That's right. But anyway, we'd like to thank our sponsors once again. The amazing Harlan Hogan, voiceover extra, Edge Studios, right behind George's left ear there. Or it's your right ear. Your fine employers. They do great stuff over there. And we appreciate, and VoiceAmp, of course, for the fine products they provide and for helping us with the broadband that we have for making sure this is an uninterrupted live stream. So, anyway, anything to close up with, Mr. Whittem?
No, I think we just have a new mug man we're going to show on the tail end, right?
We are. It's a short one. And if you've seen some of the other ones, this one's kind of unique.
To the point.
Where Jacob gets the ideas for these, I'm not quite sure, but that's where genius comes from, and the apple don't fall too far from the tree, I guess. But anyway, we'd like to thank our wives, of course, for all the wonderful patience they have. Some nights a little bit more patient than others.
And sometimes more patience required, as for a show like tonight.
That's right. Also, Kathy Curden for the great job she's doing getting all these wonderful guests on here. Shelley Avellino for monitoring the chat room with expertise tonight and getting all those great questions to us. Jack DeGolia for doing the show logs. Absolutely amazing. And, of course, doing the opening segment this morning, tonight.
Yeah, Jack and Bill Russell as well.
And Bill Russell as well. And Tim McKean for doing VoiceOver Essentials. There were a bunch of them from tonight. Just some great stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's going to do it for us tonight. I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm not in sync. So I'm watching myself talk a little later in the West.
And together we are East-West Audio Body Shop. We are on the same wavelength. All righty. We'll see you all next week. Have a great time. I'll be out to shovel everybody out in New York in the next couple of days. So anyway, have a good night. We'll see you.
Good night,
watch Mugman.
And it just jumped off the screen. There it goes.
Johnny, what are you doing?
Playing rock tennis.
Rock tennis?
You hit rocks at the cars going by.
Watch this.
Why? Hey, come on, it's fun. Look at this. Ha! Bullseye!
Who did this?
Oh, I'm gonna be safe back here.
Ah, so you think destroying property is fun? Well, then I'll do the same! Looks like you've been served.